Verse 26, and the Bible says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and who had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, there came unto a certain water. They came into a certain water. The eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our fellowship time. We thank you for the singing this morning, and now we thank you for your word. I pray you bless it, Lord. Bless the preaching of your word, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Help us have minds, hearts that are prepared and ready to receive what you have for us today. You know every need. Lord, my prayer might be that for the one that may be here lost, that today will be the day they call on your name before it's eternally too late. Lord, that one that may be struggling just with faithfulness, whatever the need may be there, Lord, help them, Lord, and help us all, Lord, to draw closer to you. Lord, be obedient to you, and Lord, not to take you for granted. Lord, help us to be thankful, Lord, for what you've done for us. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. That we didn't get the notes on the screen today, so you have to go the old-fashioned way. This means you have to pay attention. So just try to do your best. I know you're not used to that. But the title of the message this morning is, What Hinders You? What Hinders You? And we've been going through the book of Acts, and we've seen the persecution of the church, the early Christians, and they were scattered, which actually fulfilled the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Jesus gave us that commission, said go, you know, starting at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. And we've seen all the way down to Samaria, Philip had been there already preaching, and he preached the word of God. People were healed. He had cast out demons, unclean spirits, some the miracles, the power of God in that city. The Bible tells us it caused great joy in that city. And people were being saved. And now an angel comes along and tells Philip, and he says, Listen, I want you to go down to Gaza, which means desert, to a desert place, and you're going to, you know, find someone there. And this man of Ethiopia, which was going to represent the uttermost parts of the earth, the gospel going out to that area there. And so I'm going to look at Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and we'll see how their lives intertwine. Of course, God's involved. The third person there is involved in it. And, you know, see how this will help us out. Hopefully this will help us today. The very first one, we see this Ethiopian eunuch. The Bible says that he was under great authority, had great authority, and he was under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, and he was in charge of the treasury. See, so, you know, he comes on the scene all of a sudden. We don't know that much about him, but just from reading that right there, I can give you some things that you should have understood already. Number one, that he was probably an intelligent person, an educated man. At least he knew how to count if he was in charge of the money, and that he was trustworthy. You don't make just anybody the treasurer. He was a trustworthy man, industrious. He knew what to do with things. And if we look at his life, what you're seeking for, or what the world is seeking for today, what we were trying to do, like when I grew up, get an education, get a good job, get married, a family, put the money away, save up for retirement, live. That's what he had it already. He had everything. He had a position. He had power. He had wealth. Everything that people are working for in this world. He was a successful man by the definition of the term in the world that we live in today. He was what we would call, this guy's doing pretty good. He's a pretty successful man. And the Bible tells us that he had already been to Jerusalem to worship God under Judaism. He's a proselyte to Judaism, and he went there to worship God, which is how you got to God before Jesus Christ came. You had to go that way, the sacrifice and the sacrificial system. That's how you did it. And then, but Jesus came and he died on the cross and ended the animal sacrifice, and now we can trust him, and he fills us with his Holy Spirit. I mean, it's a living way. It's a new thing, and it was going on, but he was still under the old deal. He was still going, and he went down there to worship, and he's on his way back home. And it says that he was reading in the book of, it says Esaias there, which is, Isaiah, that's the book he was reading in, and Philip even went there and preached to him, Jesus, later. But he's looking in there, and I like that about the guy. It tells me a couple things. Number one, that his worship that he did, he probably went to Jerusalem only once a year. His worship wasn't a once a year thing. It wasn't. I don't believe it was just a once a week thing. I believe it was an everyday thing, and that he looked in the Word. He was looking on his own. He had a desire. He's trying to find out something else about God. I believe that when he was at Jerusalem, I can tell you from studying the New Testament and even in the Old Testament, I can tell you what he found when he got to Jerusalem to worship God. He found a worship system that was materialistic. It was ritualistic, and then it was dead. There was nothing going on there that was going to satisfy anybody spiritually that was really looking for a relationship with God. It was, everything was on the outside, nothing going on the inside. Now listen, we see it. This is how it applies, folks. This is where you pay attention. We see that today. We see this going on in people's lives today. Materialistically, we see that. People call up a lot of times. They're looking for church. Now, they don't do it as much as they used to, but before the internet and we had, websites with pages and all that, people would call up on the phone. They say, hey, tell me about your church. And they start going on. I already know. I can just about, they know. I was going to say, hold it right there. Let me just spit it out and I'll give it all to you because I know what you're going to ask. Well, what do you got? What kind of, if they got kids, they want to know what kind of programs you got for the kids. And these are intelligent questions, but and kind of things you might want to know about. I understand that. But they want to know what kind of programs that you have for the youth, young couples, middle age, seniors. That kind of tells you what age bracket they fall in, whatever kind of question they ask falls in there. Do you have a playground? Do you have a gym? Do you have a softball team? What kind of music do you sing? And what kind of pedigree does the pastor have? Where do you go to school? What kind of a degree do you have? I always tell them I got the third degree and my wife gave it to me. that's the degree I've got. But they want to know those things. And they want to know everything under the sun except, when I come there, am I going to hear from God? Am I going to really hear from God when I get down there? Can I get a hold of God there, or can you get a hold of God there? That'd be a better question. Hey, preacher, let me ask you something. When I get down there to church and you start to preach or you start to pray, can you get a hold of God? That's what I want to know. If I call on somebody to pray, I want to call on somebody I know and get a hold of him. And they ought to ask that question right there. Or is the truth preached at that church? Are you preaching the truth? Forget all that other stuff is just fluff. It's okay to have. I'm not against it. But it's just fluff. But are you preaching the truth? And here's one right here. If you want to bump a pastor off, just call a church up and say, hey, preacher, is your church a place where I can come and serve God? Huh? You're going to hear the phone hit the floor right then because the guy done had a heart attack and fell over dead right then. That's what's going to happen. Nobody calls up and asks, hey, right there. That's how you kill one off. This is the kind of stuff. So we still We're wrapped up a little bit materialistically in things that go on in our worship things. I'm going to tell you something, man. I wasn't feeling too good today, but I started preaching. I feel better already. I told the men to pray for me, man. I woke up just one of them, I wasn't over the hump. So if you shook my hand, sorry. I cleaned them up there. I'm good. But I feel better about it already. But we see materialistic things. We see ritualistic things. This goes on in churches everywhere. Goes on right here. I know it does. And what it is this is what ritualism is. It means if you're going through the motions every day, you can do it every day. You say, well, the preacher says I got to read my Bible. And so I'm going to get my Bible out and I'm going to read like three or four verses and read it. You see, I read a chapter. See, I feel real good because the preacher said I ought to do that. Or you can do it every day. Or if it's just a once a week, even if you come to every service, if you came Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, if you come to church and it's just going through the motions, you don't have any thought whatsoever of how is God going to speak to me today, then you're in a ritualistic mode. See, if you just got here today, you're just sitting here and you already got here and you haven't had a thought one on is God going to speak to me today through the word right here. You're already in a ritualistic mode. You're already worried about it. You see, you're waiting for 12 o'clock when everybody's watching starts going, you know, it's almost time to get over. You're waiting on that, right? You're thinking about what you got in the oven, you know, everything else. You're in a ritualistic mode. It's that state. And, what does God want to do in your life? Have you ever think about that? If you're not thinking about that, you're in a ritualistic state. You're just thinking, man, I'm going to go to church on Sunday. We're going to sit here. We're going to sing some songs. The preacher's going to preach, tell a couple funny things. And then we're just going to go on back to that. And we're going back on home. And guess what? My life is not affected by the gospel every single day of my life. If this gospel right here is not affecting your life at some degree, every day, every week, every year, somehow you're in a ritualistic state. It's not making a change. You're just really going through the motions. And so, you know, you have to do the evaluation to see if that's where it happens to be or that's what happens to be going on with you. What does God want to do in your life? Think about that. And then we see dead church. If you get in that dead state, you're not looking for God to do anything. You're not expecting God. You come today, you think, God, I'm not expecting God to do anything with me. I'm not expecting God to do anything with anybody else. Huh? That's pretty dead. That's pretty dead. And let me ask you this. How many of you today, don't raise your hands, please. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. But how many of you read your Bible to any degree today before you came to church? How many of you today said, God, I want you to do something at church service this morning. Pray specifically for this church service today. I mean, really pray. God, I want to feel your presence. I want you to show up like you've never showed up before. We already read it back in the book of Acts when they prayed and it said the place shook. Huh? Oh, that can't happen today. No, it can't. And the only reason it can't happen today is because of the unbelief of the people. That's the only thing that's stopping it from happening. I mean, how many of you really did that? How many of you prayed for me today? How many of you prayed for me and say, boy, give the pastor what he needs? You know, it's not easy to stand up here and preach the word of God with y'all staring at me. If you saw what I saw, you'd understand how hard it is to see. I mean, really, I'm going to get a picture. Daryl back there can get us some cameras. I was thinking about we'll mount one up here and have it showing you guys up on the screen right here. You know, that might change some appearances right there. But I got to look at it every week. It's not that easy to do. And but, you know, how many of you really prayed for your pastor or whoever's preaching at that particular time and get ready for the services and what God, wants to do? If you're not doing that, see, you're in that ritualistic state. And you know what I like about the Ethiopian eunuch? The fact that he's digging in the Word. Now I know he probably couldn't find much. And I'm not going to give you everything you need either. I don't care who the preacher is. In this life right here, I can't give you everything you need for your relationship with God. And I know that he didn't find everything he needed in Jerusalem, and he was on his way back, and he got in the Word of God itself. I like that. This is a guy that's not satisfied. The problem with Christian, average Christian today, the problem is everybody's satisfied with where they're at spiritually. We're never satisfied with where we're at physically. We always want to look better, be stronger, be younger, be smarter, move ahead at work, get more money, move up. We're never satisfied. But when it comes to Christianity, we get into the spiritual side of things. And it's mostly fear. We're afraid, man, I'm afraid God's going to do something with me. And man, I'm going to have to change all my plans. His plan is better than your plan. I mean, that's mostly what it is. But he wasn't satisfied. And you know, he's looking, he's searching, and he's looking, and he's not satisfied with that materialistic, ritualistic, and dead system that he'd been in. He was looking, looking, looking. And I like that. I mean, this is something that we can learn from this. And here's the thing. God knows your heart. I don't know. I got an idea with a lot of people. I got an idea. But I don't really know. You know, I don't really know, because you can sit here all Sunday and hold your Bible up and shout amen on the front row and everything, jump up and down, holler, that's my preacher, and do all that, and still be just as far off from God as, I don't know, because that's on the outside too. Amen. But I don't really know, but God knows. God knows the heart, and you know what? He knew this man was sincere, and he takes Philip, I can't remember, I think I say something about it in a minute, but he takes Philip from where he's in a busy place, a big city, and he says, listen, I want you to go to the desert. I got a guy I need you to see. This guy's riding along in a desert in the middle of nowhere. I don't know what he thought. He's riding along in a chariot, you know, out in the middle of the desert where you're not expecting to see anybody. And all of a sudden, there's old Philip standing on the side of the road. Got his thumb stuck out, right? He's going to get a ride. And he talks to him about that. But here's the thing. When you're sincere, when you really, really want to get a hold of God, when you really, really want a deeper relationship with God, God's not going to turn you down. But the problem with the average Christian, they didn't really want that. They're just satisfied with where they're at.
I shared this short story with most of the church probably, but some of you people that hadn't been here as long probably hadn't heard it. But I love it. And my pastor told it. And when I got saved, there was a big soul winning church, man. I mean, they would go out visitation. We'd have 16, 17 people every Thursday night go out and knock on doors. So when it's scary as all get out too. Yeah, you know, I was new, man. You had to go to somebody's house and knock on the door. And you know, man, and you know, you never know what they're going to do. You know, always knocked real gentle, like, you know, nobody's home, let's go. And go. But we went out, man, we were soul winning. But Pastor and somebody had went out, and they were out in near Culpeper, that area. And it's where we were up in Amosville. But they were out in the Culpeper area. It's a lot of farmland, cropland. And they went to a house, and the person wasn't home, that they had a target. And he said that they didn't know what to do. They were riding, and across this agricultural field, there was a dirt road that went down, and way back there, there was this one little trailer sitting there all by itself. And they felt compelled. They said, well, let's go down there. Now, they could have went anywhere. They said, let's go down there and talk to see who's anybody's home. This cold turkey visitation, man. We used to do it all the time still. I'm not real fond of it, but you know, God will give you the courage, right? They went down there and knocked on the door. And when the lady come to the door, she is holding a Bible in her hand and she was crying. They were standing there in suits. She said, you guys preachers? They said, yes, ma'am. She started crying. She said, I've been looking in this Bible trying to find out how to get saved.
Woo! Man, I mean, right there, God, you know, God directed them to that trailer at that particular time because this woman was sincere and she wanted to know how to get saved. And God got somebody there that had a Bible and knew how to tell her how to get, and she, they led that lady to the Lord right there in that trailer. But what if they had a chickened out?
I'm way ahead of myself.
What if they had a chickened out? Huh? You don't know what would happen, man. So God knew this Ethiopian's heart, and he said, Philip, I want you to go. And while I'm thinking about it, you know that there's places that God sends. God's got something for you. There's people out here in this world that I can't reach them. You know, Randy might not be able to reach them. Brian might not be able to reach them. There's people out here in this world that you can reach. There's somebody out there that maybe only you are the one. Because God can listen. God doesn't need me, and God doesn't need the Ethiopian eunuch. He don't need him either. Doesn't need Philip either. But I believe God knew that Philip could talk to this guy. There's people out there that you can reach. Only you. Maybe only you or somebody like you, and you're the closest one. And that's the one. So we see this eunuch, man. Here's a guy that had a desire. God says, man, I'm going to get to you.
And then we see Philip, and it said in verse 26, an angel of the Lord spoke unto him, told him to go towards the south to Gaza. You know, and we saw Philip, we know Philip was selected to be a deacon, and we saw him at Samaria, and he's preaching the word of God, and now he's sent out to the desert. And, you know, of course, he was obedient to that. And as I said, you know, we read about men and women that God directed them to go somewhere for a certain time for some reason. And you ever think about this, though? We start talking about surrendered lives, and, you know, I preach this to you guys. You know, I believe this is the honest truth, that God's got a plan for every individual life. His plan will be better for you than your plan for you. You will never aim big enough, never. And God's got a plan for you, and it'll be a better plan than you have for your life. Even if it's only going to see one man in the desert. What are you going to do greater than leading somebody to Jesus Christ? Huh? Well, I'm going to develop a rocket. Big deal. There's nothing on the moon. I'm going to tell you that right now. They haven't been there. Huh. What are you going to do greater than lead somebody to Jesus Christ for salvation? Nothing. Nothing. And I believe that God's got a plan. And, you know, we understand that. But think about these people that we look in the Bible. We have a tendency to do this. Well, you know, but preacher, here's the thing, man. I'm just busy. I got so much going on. I got kids. I got a job. I got responsibilities. And I got all these things. Just so many things. I just don't have time for you, God, because I got... And we look at these people like they didn't have nothing to do. Like Philip was just an unemployed bum that just happened to be, you know, hanging around the church because he didn't have nothing to do. And Peter, you know, was fishing, wasn't so hot, so he kind of... We always look at these guys like they didn't have anything going on in their life. Listen, human nature didn't change. You can go all the way back to Adam and Eve. Anybody in between, the way you think and the way we think and the struggles and the pains and the sorrows and the desires and the wants and the ambitions, everybody had them. Humans have it. These guys had lives. I mean, the Bible doesn't say, but I'd say it was rare, just like today. Most people, when they get to a certain age, get grown. Guess what? Most people get married. Most people have kids. Most people got a job. These people that he called, Peter and James and John and Andrew and Matthew, Mark and Luke and all these guys and Phil, these guys were just like you and I. They were not, they had an agenda. They had jobs. They probably had wives. They probably had kids. I know some of them had wives. I know Peter had a wife. Some of them, they had families. They had stuff going on in their life. God doesn't just go look around, well, let me find somebody that don't have absolutely nothing going on in their life. Do you know anybody like that? No, you don't. So if God's looking for that, he's not going to find anybody. No, these people had an agenda. But what happened was God took, and you think, oh, well, they were just super duper saints. They were just so far close. No, man, listen, they weren't. Look at Peter, man. Peter is so much like us. I mean, he failed every time you turn around. But he said, God said, listen, no, I'm going to use you. But what happened was they learned something. They said, you know what? What God's got for me is a lot more important than what I got for me. They learned that. It's not that they didn't. They had to be the husbands to their wives they needed to be. They had to be the daddy to their kids that they should have been. God wanted them to do that. And we got word on it in the Word of God. They had to be all that. And they did all that, but they still did what God was the priority. God was the priority. And now we're reading about him over 2,000 years later and because God was able to use those people. Listen, they were just average, everyday folks. And you know Philip. Philip had a life. Sure he did. We're doing a series with the men. We started, maybe I mentioned it a week ago or so. Yeah, we have a Tuesday night prayer thing going with the ladies and all. I know it's extracurricular, but you know, it's whatever you desire, whatever you want to do. Human beings have this unique ability. Whatever we really want to do, we're going to do it. You know, you ever notice that? Whatever we really want to do, we're going to do it. And we're doing this one with Chip Ingram. He's on the radio sometimes, does some stuff on the Christian radio. He's doing a thing. It's called Holy Ambition. Holy Ambition. And he asked this question. He said, what would you do if you had a blank check for God, from God to do anything that God wanted you to do? You know, and then the people, you know, you ponder the question. And I told my men, I said, listen, I'm going to tell you something. You got a blank check from God to do anything God calls you to do, because if God calls you to do it, He's going to enable you to do it. He's going to give you the resource. He's going to give you everything. You've got a blank check for that. But the problem is nobody's thinking about it. Not nobody, but most. The average Christian is not thinking, has an ambition for what God wants me to do. Now, I had asked a question here a couple weeks ago. Where do you see yourself spiritually next year? You know, going to be closer to God or farther away? Where do you see yourself? Well, cricket sounds. Most people don't think about that. Well, I don't know. Be right here, I guess. You know, not thinking about it. And then if you think, well, you know, hopefully I'll be closer to God. I'll have a closer walk. Some people may be farther away. But if you're thinking, okay, I want to be closer to God in a year from now or 5 years from now, what are you doing to get there? We don't think about that. How are we going to get there? You know, can't do the same thing over and over again. Definition of insanity, expect a different result. Got to do, you know, something different. So we think about that. But then, what about this one? What do you plan to do for God this year? Once again, ask it any church in the world. I'd say the biggest majority said, hadn't thought about it. Hadn't thought about that. Having an ambition. Now, you think about other stuff, what you're going to do for you, right? How many of you already know where you're going to go on vacation next year? You got a vacation. You're already starting to plan that, right? Or you know at least you're going, right? You know, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take off time here. I'm going to go on vacation here. It's what we're going to do for Christmas. We're planning, you know, and then in the bigger picture, you know, we're planning for retirement when I get this old and the Social Security sends you that thing. And if you retire here, you get this much. If you go to there, you get that much. You know, all that stuff. You figure all that out, right? What are you going to do for God? You done plan for you. What are you going to do for God? And I believe my Bible teaches that God's supposed to be first, not us, right? We should already have God planned and then, you know, plan for us, right? But we don't think about it. What kind of ambition do you have for that? Listen, all these men and women in the Bible, they had their own plans. They had their own agendas, but they were arrested by the Holy Spirit of God. And now His agenda and His plans became theirs. That's all that happened. And they made an impact on people's lives. Man, they made an impact. Just think, we're reading just a story, two men. Just one guy's looking for God. And God said, man, I want you, Philip, to go and talk to him. It could have been anybody. It could have been Peter. It could have been James. It could have been John. He said, no, Philip, I want you. And Philip was doing something. Not only was Philip doing something, Philip was doing something for God. He was in a big city, man. People was getting saved left and right. It's like a revival. The whole city was full of joy. We just read it a couple weeks ago. The whole city's full of joy. He's even healing people. He's casting out demons, man. I mean, it's like boom, 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 boom. And God says, Philip, I want you to go to the desert and just talk to this one guy. How many of us in our pride would say, oh, man. Man, I'm leaving all this, man. I'm bumping along here, man. I'm doing good. Why should I go out to the desert? You know, we get in an argument with God. Look, God, you don't know what you're talking about. Look, God, I know what's better. And how many of us do this? I mean, we don't do it literally, but we do it. You know, we don't really say, God, this is what, you know, God, I know what's better than you, but I'm going to tell you, anytime you do something that you know that's not what God wants you to do, anytime you do something opposite of what God wants you to do, you're really saying, God, I know what's better than you do. I know better than you, right? Amen. That's a good spot. Where's my sign? I'll get it out here in a minute. Huh? That's right. It's amen. That's what we do. We're not saying it the same way, but it's what we're doing. And listen, God's not done now. We think, yeah, with all this happened back in the old, this all happened in the Bible. It's already taking place. God's not done working in people's lives right now. He's still working. Well, He's not doing what all He was doing. Yeah, because we won't listen. We won't listen. So we saw the Ethiopian eunuch, we saw Philip, and then we see God. Save the best for last, right? We see God. God had already prepared this Ethiopian's heart. And I believe God had already prepared Philip's heart as well. And like I said, he could have argued about it, but he had a prepared heart. He said, you're going to carry the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that Ethiopian eunuch, listen, he got saved and he went home. And guess what? He was still a Christian when he got there, and it was carried to that part of the world. God's directing things to fulfill His plan. And as I said, His plan is bigger and better and more important than any plan we might have from God. And if Philip wouldn't have gone, Oh, God would have got it done somehow. But it wouldn't have been in the direct will, the directive will of God, what he wanted. God calls, you know, God has a plan for us. And boy, our life, you know, the people today, I talk to people all the time and they say, man, you know, my life is, boy, it's just a mess, man. It is just so hectic. It's like boom to the boom. There's something going on. How many of you got there? And Christmas hadn't even got here yet. Wait, you know, it's just like, woo, woo, woo. We're just running, running, running. And you know really why? Most of it is this. I can simplify it for you. I'm not saying it won't be any less busy, but it'll be more organized. Just fall in line with God's plan. Do what God wants you to do, because then he's going to empower you to get it done. It'll get done a lot. It'll get done better, faster, smoother. It'll be more inner peace. You may be flying on the outside, but you're going to be calm on the inside. Most people's lives are just chaotic because they're not in the will of God. They don't have it lined up with the will of God. I know that God has a plan of some sort for every single person in the world. And I wonder what the percentage is of the people in the world that don't find out or fulfill or don't, you know, complete the plan that God has for their life. I wonder what that percentage is. I bet it's way up there. I bet it's way up there. God may be calling you today to salvation. You know, nothing happens by accident. People show up and come and nothing happens by accident. You know, maybe the plan is this, you know, that you get saved today. God's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. I believe God wants everybody to be saved. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Huh? Whosoever will call on his name, that's his plan. But there's people that's not going to fulfill that plan. They won't be saved. Maybe God's directing you to somebody or to something. There's somebody. I've had people say this to me, hey, Pastor, you know, I was thinking God really laid this person on my heart. I would like for you to go speak to him. I say, no, no, no. God laid him on your heart. God's more than capable of laying him on my heart. But God's laid him on your heart. You go speak to him. You're the one. Maybe you're the one. Maybe you're the one person that can say something that I wouldn't say. I might say it differently. Maybe you're the one that could lead somebody. Maybe God's directing you to somebody or something. Maybe there's a relationship that needs restoration. Maybe there's a wrong that needs to be made right. Maybe a person, as I said, that only you can reach. Are you listening to that? Are you looking? And the title of the message, what's hindering you? What hinders you from completely following the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, your mind, your soul? That's all.